but they brought passion and idealism to their cause, just like CAP. And their participation and your participation is an essential part of a healthy democracy. I worked for 30 years at Queen's Park, often as in the field of minority rights. For 14 of those years, I was part of the negotiations that led to the Constitution Act of 1982, and I helped to write the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. Section 2 of the Charter states that freedom of peaceful assembly is a fundamental right of Canadians. Section 7 of the Charter states that everyone has the right to be secure against unreasonable search or seizure and not to be arbitrarily detained or imprisoned. What happened in Toronto 3 weeks ago goes against the spirit of what we accomplished in 1982. And by the way, I remember very much a day on April the 17th, 1982, just like this, in front of the Parliament of Canada. I was sitting just in front of the Queen and Prime Minister Trudeau, and we were all watching to the west because a storm was coming. And just as the Queen bent over to sign the Charter of Rights, the rain came. So it's not coming today, thank God. Well, in fact, instead of a celebration of the Charter, the images that have gone around the world about our peaceful multicultural city have not been centered on whatever decisions the G20 leaders arrived at, but have featured burning cars and masses of riot police arresting mostly peaceful protesters. We need a public inquiry so that all Canadians can understand why and how we spent $1 billion on security. What were the roles of decision makers in Ottawa, in Barrie, in Queen's Park, and Toronto? And why the city's proposal to have the event at the CNE was ignored? The reviews which have been announced by the Toronto Police Services Board and the Ontario Ombudsman can only touch some of those issues. Canadians deserve to know why the most blatant violation of the spirit of the Charter of Rights and Freedoms since it came into force in 1982 was allowed to take place. We need a public inquiry now. Thank you.
Word up, word of mouth Wednesday. It's Daniel Libby here at the Civil Liberties Now. The rally continues on July 17th, and we've got a guest here, Mr. Don Stevenson. But do you mind introducing yourself?
Okay. I was just named to the advisory board of the CAP, the Canadians Advocating Political Participation. I had been a deputy minister at Queen's Park here, and I had earlier been involved in negotiating and helping to write the Charter of Rights and Freedoms.
Right, and I know that's one of the important parts of this rally is recognizing the Charter of Rights and Freedoms and what happened during the G20 weekend. What is your opinion on what went down in the end of June?
Well, I thought it was security overkill. I thought first that it shouldn't have been in downtown Toronto. I think if the host city says that they've got a better place in the city, they proposed the CNE grounds. I was out to the CNE grounds a week or two before the G20, and oh my, it really is a now much lovelier place than it used to be. And the police around there told me that you could seal it off much more easily and you wouldn't have what happened in the main streets of downtown Toronto.
Right, and I guess, could you take us back to the time when the Charter was being formed? What was it like in Canada then? Were there circumstances that, like reasons for the Charter to be made?
Well, the constitutional discussions really began in the late 60s after there were a lot of manifestations in Quebec by people that wanted a separate Quebec. And it got so that there were prior to the October crisis of 1970, there were a couple of kidnappings and a murder of a minister. And so to get a sense by Quebecers that this was their country, as well as the Anglos, we had what amounted to about 18 years of constitutional discussions. A lot of things happened. We had the Official Languages Act in 1969, and a number of things Mr. Trudeau really took the lead on to try to make Quebecers feel at home in the rest of the country. The discussions formally ended in late 1981, when we did agree on a method of bringing the Constitution back from Britain and putting in a Charter of Rights and entrenching Aboriginal rights. And the whole thing was signed by the Queen herself on April 17, 1982, in front of the Parliament buildings. At an event a little bit like this, with, as I was saying this afternoon, with a big storm coming from the west.
And we're here at Queen's Park, and it's a lot of people out here with the Canadians Advocating for Political Participation rally. And with the G20, it seems like it's got a lot of people looking into these issues and stuff. Do you believe that that this kind of issue is going to get a lot of people to participate in politics?
Well, I certainly hope so. It's amazing what a group of idealistic, young, passionate people who have set up CAP have been able to do by using modern methods of communication. They've got over 100,000 members, and they've set up chapters across the country, and they're doing a great job of getting particularly younger people involved in the public issues of the day. At a time when our proportion of people voting in elections is dropping, we've got a revival, particularly among young people, of interest and activism, which I'm all for, and that's why I was happy to join the advisory board and to speak at the Democracy Cafe series that CAP is organizing.
And here at Queen's Park, I know the one, the major building we got here is the Ontario Legislature. Do you have any opinion on Delta McGuinty and the secret law, or the so-called secret law that was in effect?
Well, I worked at Queen's Park for 30 years, and I must admit I had never heard of the Public Works Act with this kind of provision in it. I think there was, it sounds to me like it was something pretty obsolete, and certainly the government and the city showed a rotten sense of communication, because the police chief himself really didn't know what authority he was being given by it.
Mr. Don Stevenson, do you support the public inquiry?
Yes, very much. The problem now is that the Police Services Board inquiry can only deal with the actions of the Toronto Police. The Ombudsman of Ontario can only really look at the OPP or the Public Works Act. But so much of the whole event was orchestrated by the federal government, and particularly by the security people. I think that the federal government just allowed the security people to overrun the preparations. And I think a public inquiry would bring out just who was responsible for what element of the G20 preparations and the actions during the 3 days.
For real. And Mr. Don Stevenson, thanks a lot for speaking with us today.
You're welcome.